The role of Sweden is not adequately explained in German history. Sweden remained a factor in German history even though Prussia got most of Pomerania. They maintained a presence just to the west of Pomerania. At the same time, Sweden was a major military force in the area. And a series of conflicts was fought with Sweden by Prussia. Now, at the time of Peter the Great, a guy called Charles XII of Sweden came to power. And again, there's a whole series of intrigues that went on here, which we won't get into. But Charles XII attacked Russia and successfully defeated Russia at the Battle of Narva. This was a very threatening development to Germany and to Prussia. The activities of Charles XII are very complicated, and we won't go into all the other campaigns, but to make a long story short, he didn't pursue his attack on Russia and did various other things, but then renewed his attack on Russia later. And Peter the Great used the same tactics of Alexander I against Napoleon. He used a scorched earth tactic against the advance of the Swedish army. You should also understand that a scorched earth tactic means that you basically are going to sacrifice the lives of your peasants for military gain and so on and so forth. So this was not the world's happiest situation for the Russian peasants and so on. But to make a long story short, Charles the 12th was forced to move his army south because they were starving, and was then attacked by the forces of Peter the Great, and his army was destroyed. So the Peter the Great basically knocked out Sweden as a major power. Peter the Great met Frederick William the First, and even though Frederick William I wasn't a very likable guy, they seem to have gotten along. Peter the Great was basically a tyrannical monster. He was sort of the Joseph Stalin of the 17th century. But unlike Frederick William I, he's gotten a good press from historians because he liked to read intellectual books and was a patron of the arts and won big military victories. And the fact that he was a tyrant really didn't bother most historians. But anyway, the significance of this to show the concern of Prussia for the alliance with Russia is a very interesting story, which is the Amber Room, this extraordinary room of amber in the Prussian royal palace. Peter the Great took a liking to it. So Frederick William I, one of the biggest cheapskates you'll ever run into, had the palace, the Amber Room, disassembled and sent to Russia. But it showed the priority that Russia was for Frederick William I. Frederick William I was not an easygoing guy as a dad, let's put it that way. Frederick the Great had a very grim childhood. The most famous event was when he couldn't take it anymore and fled the palace with his tutor. Frederick William I didn't really go for this, and the full reasons for why he was so angry are a subject of debate. But make a long story short about this, he had the tutor executed in front of poor Frederick. So again, this is another reason why Frederick William I is just not too popular with historians. He also had a sort of eccentric obsession with a small group of soldiers that were 6 feet tall, and he marched them around and thought that was interesting. In my view, a totally irrelevant point, but historians like to make fun of him for that. My attitude is, who cares? He doubled the size of the Prussian army, which was very important. The end result of all this is that when Frederick the Great came to power, he was head of a very powerful state in the center of Europe and was able to further build on that power to create an enormously powerful state, which later under Bismarck became the most powerful state in Europe and one of the most powerful and influential states in the world. The point of this is that that didn't just happen by accident. In particular, if it hadn't been for Frederick William I, Frederick the Great might have ended up being Frederick the Nobody, just a point. So it's important to understand how all this came together and what created the modern state of Germany.